This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Three-game offensive explosion this weekend against the Milwaukee Brewers. 9 home runs on Saturday. And now all the rage all over social media and conventional media everywhere, everyone talking about the torpedo bat, the new type of bat that a number of these Yankee players are using. And to understand the bat, who's using it, the implications, and talk about this historic Yankee offensive start to the season, we bring in Gary Phillips, covers the Yankees for the New York Daily News. Hey, Gary, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a whirlwind, just keeping track of all these home runs these last couple of days. But series is over. I'm settled in at home. I'm ready to talk some torpedo bats in Yankees baseball.
All right, so let's start with, I know already, I've been on the air an hour, and I've already had a few conversations from fans who think that at some point Major League Baseball will outlaw this bat. I've had fans on Twitter, on social media telling me that. On the other hand, there are plenty of saying it's a great thing and everyone will adopt it and all of this. So let's start there. What's your understanding? It would seem that from everything I'm reading that this is legal and will not be outlawed, but what's your understanding of this bat? And if you can explain to people what's different about this quote-unquote torpedo bat, and have the Yankees clarify the Yankees and their position with the league and the league approving this bat.
Yeah, so just to jump right off the bat there, no pun intended, this is a legal bat. I myself have confirmed that with Major League Baseball. Aaron Boone said that today. Cody Bellinger said that the bat manufacturers all got this approved and okayed with Major League Baseball before they were even presented to players. The origin of the torpedo shape comes from Aaron Lenhart, who was an analyst on the Yankees' big league coaching staff last year. He's now a coach with the Marlins, but he was an MIT physicist before he even got into the Yankees organization and, you know, Major League coaching. He basically came up with this design last year, which has the barrel a little more front, you know, the weight is loaded towards the hands opposed to the end. So you're really just talking about weight distribution, which is something that big league hitters have become more and more focused on over the last 3 or 4 years, according to Cody Bellinger. He likened it to the way, you know, a golfer goes through a simulator and tests their clubs, and they're very particular about, you know, every part of the golf club. This is kind of the same thing. The way Bellinger spoke about it, it's like, why are we not putting more science into this and more thought into this? Well, Yankees had an MIT physicist on their staff last year, so they put some more thought into this.
And it looks like, according to some comments I've seen from Bellinger, that I understand this is about weight distribution and taking that, let's say, from the end of the bat where maybe it's less useful to you there and more useful if you're moving it closer to the hands, closer to the label. That, at least to Bellinger, it sounds like it felt like a longer, I'll call it, because I've had some fans on social question my precision of language here, that it might not be a longer sweet spot, but it is. It feels to the players like Bellinger as more of a longer useful or effective sweet spot.
I think that's pretty accurate, the way that he and other players have talked about it. You know, think of it as, you know, the players are feeling like or perceiving that the sweet spot is a little bit closer to the hands opposed to the very end of the barrel. You know, the exact quote from Bellinger this morning was, you know, I like the weight distribution personally. The weight's closer to my hands, so I feel as if it's lighter in a way. So that was, for me, the biggest benefit. And then he says, you know, bigger the sweet spot, bigger the margin for error. But that's more of a feel thing.
Yep.
You know, even Anthony Volpe, who is into the bat and using them and really likes them, he said it might just be a placebo effect. You know, mm-hmm. he's not really sure, but giving him confidence, it's making him feel like he's got a more powerful and useful weapon at the plate. So that, you know, that's half the battle right there, right?
I was wondering about that potential placebo effect that for players like, let's say, Anthony Volpe or Jazz Chisholm, is it possible that it is something that gives them confidence because there is a plausible explanation for why they might be feel better or more powerful? I was thinking that on the one hand, but then the flip side of it is, are you seeing greater bat speed, higher velocity from some of these players that would be attributed to the new bat, or is this potentially attributed to a new swing?
I haven't noticed that necessarily. Now, I'll be honest, with all the offense that I've had to keep track of and all the, you know, and writing game stories, I haven't been looking at every single exit velocity over the last 2 days. But I know in The Athletic, Len Hart actually spoke to The Athletic and said, you know, like, this isn't something that should necessarily change exit velocity, but it might change how frequently, you know, you're getting the sweet spot, how frequently you're having a barrel opposed to, you know, light contact or soft contact, medium contact. So there's that. And, you know, the science is basically you're trying to hit the ball with the part of the bat that has more mass. So it would make sense that you're going to hit it harder, right?
Yep.
And then there is that just mental edge. If you think you've got something when you're going up to the plate, like, yeah, you're going to feel good about yourself.
So, all right, we clarified that you yourself have even contacted the league office. So for all the people who are saying, oh, the Major League Baseball is going to make this illegal, the way I've had people say, the way they crack down on cork bats or pine tar, you know, where you can have pine tar or different things that they've done. It sounds like this is something that is illegal, and Major League Baseball, intuitively, I just think there's so many advantages for pitchers in how analytics and research and where the game is, that I would think that, I guess I'm asking you, something like this that gives some advantage to the hitters that adds a little action to the game, I would imagine that the league office would like. Wouldn't that make sense?
I would assume so. You know, baseball always tends to like it when there's more offense. For those who are questioning the legality of it, you know, they can go read the rule book. It is Rule 3.02. You know, it covers what's legal, what's illegal, what teams and manufacturers have to go through before getting a bat okayed. Again, spoke to the league. This is a legal bat. It's not just the Yankees who are doing it. Cody Bellinger actually said today he first tested it when he was with the Cubs last year. And in batting practice, Alex Cora today was asked, and, you know, with the Red Sox, you know, about the bats. He said some of his guys were messing around with them in spring training. So this is not just the Yankees. It's not, oh, the Yankees are cheating or they're getting away with something. And you mentioned the technological advancement, and, you know, there's been so many on the pitching side.
Right.
I actually chatted along with some other reporters with Christian Yelich from the Brewers today, and he seemed pretty curious and hopeful that, yeah, this could be an advancement and innovative and something that finally lets the hitters catch up with the pitchers on the technology side of things. So I wouldn't be shocked if you start seeing more of these bats around the game.
All right. So we're talking to Gary Phillips from the New York Daily News about the new bats and the Yankees. Taking a step back, the Yankee offense in general, bats were, you know, torpedoes or no torpedoes, they are torpedoing the ball over the wall. And I guess, you know, let's start with Aaron Judge, a player who is not using a new bat. He's using the same old bat. And when we think about and we look at a season like last year, This is a historically great hitter who got off to a very slow start last year. When you see what he's doing now, is this potentially, at least the regular season, not postseason, but regular season, is this as good as Aaron Judge has ever looked?
I mean, it's only been a couple of games. You know, you mentioned the slow start last year, and he did reference today working on some things throughout spring training, wanting to be in a better place and having a better March and April so that he doesn't repeat what he did last year. It's funny. Whenever we try to ask Judge about his swing and where he's at, he's always resistant to hyping himself up or complimenting himself. So, you know, today he was asked, how do you feel? Where's your swing at? And he said, we're getting there. So, I don't think he ever necessarily wants to put a cap on what he can do. Aaron Boone says the same thing all the time. Like, you know, you always expect the unexpected with him. At the same time, baseball's a game of streaks and ups and downs. Even the greats like Aaron Judge, you know, last year it was April in the beginning of the season where he struggled. This year it might be a month in the summer or a couple of weeks later on down the stretch. You know, you never know with baseball. But for all those who were maybe concerned about what he was going to look like without Juan Soto, I would say there's no reason to worry there. He's done these types of things without Soto, and he's done them with Soto, and now he'll do them without Soto again.
So I thought one of the more important developments this weekend was that Jazz Chisholm, you know, you mentioned that Soto not being there, but if they're going to walk, you know, with no Soto and, you know, if they're just going to start walking Aaron Judge the way they did today, that Jazz Chisholm pounced on a couple, you know, hit a couple home runs and is off to such a hot start. I thought that was a really important factor. And, you know, so in terms of good signs for the Yankees, important factors, this offense, you know, when you're looking at it, is that, you know, do you look at the Jazz Chisholm and how he's playing as one of the more important factors we've seen so far?
I certainly think it's one of them. And you look at this, again, very small sample, but even what he did in spring training, what he did last year after the trade, and you start thinking to yourself, okay, Jazz Chisholm Jr. is comfortable in his surroundings for the first time in his career. Jazz Chisholm Jr. is playing with that short porch in Yankee Stadium. Jazz Chisholm Jr. is playing with other talented and accomplished MVPs and all-stars all around him. Like, could this guy be a 30-30 guy? Maybe that's ambitious. Maybe that's too much to expect from a guy who's never done it before. But I certainly think that potential and that possibility is there. At the same time, I don't think it's just Jazz. You know, I had questions about what Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt could provide coming into this season, just given their recent histories, whether it be injuries or age with Goldschmidt. So far, the early returns are good, but caution Yankees fans that they are early returns. There's still a lot of baseball left to be played.
Yeah, small sample size, three games, and yesterday was 80 degrees and wind blowing out. But how much of this was, of this Yankee explosion, would you, and again, it's a small sample size, but would you attribute to, we think of the Brewers as being a good team, but did they, I don't know, was their pitching, are they underwhelming and maybe not as good as we thought they would be, or how much of it is that maybe this Yankee offense is better than we thought it would be?
So I think it's really hard to quantify the impact the bats are having over such a small sample. You mentioned also the Brewers. You know, Pat Murphy today, their manager, he noted that the team's pitching staff is decimated. You know, he said they were down 8 of their top 13 arms to start the season.
Yep.
He said today's starter, Aaron Civale, was actually dealing with a hamstring issue, but, you know, they were already so short-staffed, so he just dealt with it. And he also said his guys didn't execute. You know, his quote was, when you throw the ball down the middle, you're going to get it whacked. Nestor Cortez said something similar when asked about all the home runs he gave up yesterday. He was like, I don't think it was the bats. I think I threw bad pitches, which you look at some of the velocity on a couple of them. You know, he was sitting 89, 90 miles an hour the entire start. Yeah, big league hitters are going to feast on those no matter what they're using at the plate. So I think it's a combination of things. I do think maybe there is some potential for this Yankees offense to be better than some people might have expected. It's certainly something I'm going to maybe adjust my own expectations for going forward, and let's see where they're at, you know, a month or two from now.
How about the pitching so far? I mean, lost in all of this because of the barrage. Rodon looked good, but what did you think of Max Fried, Marcus Stroman? On the other hand, the bullpens look good. Some thoughts on the pitching?
Yeah, Rodon looked excellent in his opening day start. I thought it was really important that you saw him using a six-pitch mix. He worked in a brand-new sinker. He threw one earlier in his career, but this is a totally different pitch he's using now. So now, there were times last year where he really struggled with predictability. If he's going to be effective in a top-of-the-rotation pitcher that the Yankees need him to be, you know, you would think he needs to do more of that. So it was very encouraging to see in his first start of the season. Fried, you know, really bad defense behind him yesterday. That kind of got lost in the barrage of home runs. With just, you know, the Yankees really couldn't catch the ball yesterday, and Aaron Boone said as much. So it's hard to get a real good read on just how good Fried was. He was fine. It was a fine day. You know, he left with 16 runs on the board and can't get a win. That's not his fault necessarily. And then today, Stroman was also, I would say, fine. You know, if you look at some of the metrics, he got hit pretty hard. But it doesn't matter when you're smacking all these home runs in the game. You know, if your offense can do that and your pitching staff can get you through four or five innings, you'll take that from the rotation.
Yeah, you just worry, as you mentioned, the defense yesterday and the non-Rodon starters. Yeah, you're not going to score 20 runs or 12 runs every day. It won't always be made up with that. So it's something at least to watch. We'll see. A very small sample size, but Gary Phillips from the New York Daily News, appreciate you coming on and giving us a little bit of clarity on the torpedo bats, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
All righty.